Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. More than 9,000 UC students have reason to celebrate today. The state Supreme Court has rejected an appeal of a ruling finding students enrolled in 2003 had a right to presume tuition and fees would hold steady. Translation, refunds. The San Francisco Chronicle reports it's not clear how UC will pay the estimated $40 million in question, though after an earlier court order blocking tuition hikes for previously enrolled students, UC officials raised fees for new students. Stanford's endowment last year rang in at more than $17 billion tax-free. That from a report released yesterday by the National Association of College and University Business Officers. Stanford's endowment trails only those at Harvard and Yale. The Chronicle notes if you combine the endowments of all 10 campuses in the UC system, you get just $8 billion. To pick one football rival, UC Berkeley has $800 million in change, even though Cal educates more than twice as many students as Stanford. The federal judge who seized control of California's failed prison health care system has removed the man he put in charge of fixing it. Judy Campbell explains.
In his almost 2 years as federal receiver, Robert Sillin was outspoken about the failures in a prison health system, which the federal court found killed an inmate a week from neglect or medical misconduct. Sillin said it would take a lot of time, up to a decade, to fix the system and a lot of money. At one point, he said he'd back a truck up to the state treasury if he needed to. In his order yesterday, Judge Thelton Henderson praised Sillin for his success recruiting and hiring better doctors and medical staff and for his bold and creative leadership. But Henderson said the job now needs someone with a more collaborative style who can implement changes in a reasonable amount of time. Sillin at times alienated state officials and prison rights advocates who both say they look forward to working with his replacement. That's Clark Kelso, professor at McGeorge School of Law. Kelso has a long record as a negotiator and has previously taken over other state institutions in crisis. For the California Report, I'm Judy Campbell.
A state Senate committee is weighing the fate of Governor Schwarzenegger's health care reform plan. The plan mandates health coverage for about two-thirds of uninsured people in this state, but in a marathon hearing yesterday, legislative analyst Elizabeth Hill warned the reform could generate a deficit of $4 billion within just a few years. Our health reporter Sarah Varney has been following the story in Sacramento. Sarah, any sense when this plan is going to go to a vote?
It's scheduled to go for a vote now on Monday. The vote was actually supposed to happen yesterday, but it was delayed because we can surmise that Senator Parada knew he didn't have the votes to pass the bill and wants some more time.
Lawmakers have been hashing this thing over for more than a year now. When this discussion started, we weren't in the midst of a massive fiscal crisis. How's that affecting this debate?
The legislative analyst yesterday made the same point. She said that it seems to be contradictory to launch this expensive new program in the middle of this deficit crisis. But supporters told the committee yesterday that health care reform is not paid for out of the general fund, and instead there are new sources of revenue. There's a tax on hospitals, there's an increase in the cigarette tax, and there would be contributions from employers to pay for the plan.
And are their financing assumptions based on real math or funny math?
Well, that's also up for debate. The LAO yesterday said there may, in fact, be a higher number of uninsured that's estimated in the bill, but nobody really knows for sure exactly how many uninsured. The estimates vary from about 4.5 million up to 6.5 million, and that medical care costs could grow much faster than what's anticipated in the bill, and all of that means that the cost of the program could be far more than the revenues that it would generate.
Aside from those really big questions, what other issues did lawmakers raise yesterday?
Well, there's just a sheer number of details to implement the bill. So as with Massachusetts, much of this nitty-gritty details are going to be left to this board of experts. And supporters tried to sway the Senate committee members to say that they shouldn't legislate every last detail in the bill, otherwise they're just going to get caught up in this forever. Here's Chairwoman Senator Sheila Kuehl from Santa Monica, who has said she won't support the bill.
People have said, trust us, it's fine, it's going to be adequate. Others have said it's not going to be adequate. I don't know that we're really going to be able to solve it by continuing to say to each other, don't worry.
Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez is the author of this bill. What does he say in reaction to this?
Well, over the next couple of days, Fabian Nunez is likely to have a lot of heart-to-heart conversations with other members of the board to try and get them to vote for this. Last night, he made this final plea to committee members saying that getting a compromise legislation was a Herculean task and they shouldn't give up now.
The fundamental question we must ask ourselves is, how does it compare to what we have today? If folks that don't support this but really want health care reform, I want to know what that plan is. I want to know where that plan is, and I want to know how real it is and how close we are.
There are so many players involved in such a massive undertaking. Where do the labor unions, hospitals, consumer groups, and businesses stand?
All of those groups have different opinions. There are some unions who are supporting, some unions who are opposed, so it really depends. But their main concerns are really focused on how much Californians who get this kind of insurance through this new state purchasing pool are going to pay and what kinds of benefits they're actually going to get. So these are people whose employers don't offer health insurance and instead they're going to pay into this state fund and that's where they're going to get their health insurance. So some of their main concerns are there's no cap on monthly premiums and perhaps there's not enough measures to control costs and so who knows how high premiums could go. Also, a lot of questions about how the individual mandate will be enforced. So how are you going to penalize somebody who doesn't actually sign up for health insurance? And also, what's the process for someone who wants to opt out of the mandate because there's a financial hardship? So there are these endless details that come along with trying to overhaul something as complex as healthcare.
So, Sarah, what happens next?
There is a vote scheduled for Monday, but even if it does pass this Senate Health Committee and then passes the full Senate and is signed into law by the governor who has supported this legislation, voters would still need to approve a ballot measure that authorizes the taxes to pay for the health care reform, and that is headed for the November ballot, although it's not a done deal yet.
Health reporter Sarah Varney in Sacramento. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Finally today, former state Senate leader John Burton faces a $10 million sexual harassment lawsuit. The head of a foundation he established to help homeless kids filed a complaint in a San Francisco Superior Court yesterday. The plaintiff's attorney says they've got incriminating voicemails. Burton's attorney calls the allegations groundless and the suit a shakedown. Burton spent 26 years in the legislature, during which time he was known as much for his salty language as for his political smarts. That's the California Report for Thursday, January 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, a new website rating hospital quality in California at calhospitalcompare.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.